Put in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is a time of perfect preparation for every last child of God in the body of Christ. We thank you, Father, that you are preparing us perfectly and leading us into the fullness of all that you have for us between now and the end of the age. So we just thank you, Father, as the word goes forth this morning, that you bring it forth to us in great clarity. And we just give you all praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this will be the final one on righteous motivation, part six. Of course, everything that's taught under the anointing has as its root, that is the basis. But nonetheless, we're going to review a bit and then just cover some ground pertaining to where we are now and where we need to be. I mean, it's obviously quite important to realize that we have to be righteously motivated to be a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just the way it is. Anything short of righteous motivation, of course, will misrepresent him, misrepresent the Father, and those days are over in the midst of the congregations of the righteous. So just looking back, and again, a few scriptures, Matthew 5, 48, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Again, meaning that first and foremost, we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart. That is the righteous motivation towards him that's called for. And then we'll be empowered to be righteously motivated in all other things, priorities. Any lack of order in obedience to that command will produce carnal Christianity. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the all things, first and foremost, are those things which we need, spirit, soul, body, and financially, to carry out the fullness of God's will for our life. And we talked in Matthew 7, a very key passage in the scriptures, Jesus saying that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. So, you know, with that one statement, he takes us out of the realm of passivity into the realm of corresponding action in faith, of course, working through a perfect love. We know that in Matthew 24, it talks about in this end time that rebellion and lawlessness will increase and that the love of many will grow cold. And we've seen that over the, particularly in the last 5 or 6 years, we've begun to see people lose the fire they had from God, for God and his will, and they've fallen back into a plateau position. And in that position, rebellion is spawned, it's fueled. And so Christians need to be diligently seeking God day in and day out in his presence so that they avoid that pitfall. It's a major pitfall. Many, many ministries have been established from a place of plateauing and thus a place of darkness, and consequently it's causing a mess. God is coming to shine a light into every situation that's been built apart from him. Again, in Matthew 7, Jesus talked about the importance of revelation knowledge. And of course, if we don't have revelation knowledge, then how can we know the will of the Father? And if we don't have revelation knowledge, or we don't have the Holy Spirit abiding within us without hindrance, then how are we going to know when to act on the revelation knowledge we do have? We talked about the fact that we are a people called to walk by faith and not by sight without exception. We're going to go into that in a little more detail today. And the fact that we need to saturate our hearts with the Word of God. Serving Jesus Christ is a lifestyle. It's not an occasional entrance into something when we feel like it. It is putting the Word of God first and keeping it there at all costs to ourselves. And so it's much easier when you make the decision to love the Lord your God with all your heart to just step right into it, because the Bible says in Timothy, if you even so desire to serve God, to love God, you will be persecuted. So we might as well jump in with both feet, and then we'll be perfectly empowered to overcome in all things. Again, we're going to touch a bit on that today because the persecution is coming. But that's not, and I'm going to show you from the scriptures, it's not something to fear. And literally, the scripture tells us to literally jump for joy when it happens. So we're going to look at some of those scriptures. We talked about the need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean upon our own understanding. An absolute principle. To the degree you trust in the Lord is the degree you don't trust in yourself. And unfortunately, if one maintains that ground of self-dependence, then ultimately they will come into a position where they're trusting in themselves, with a lot of help from the devil, and ignoring the Word of God. A bad place to be in. We talked about the fact that diligence, devotion, and understanding come only through relationship and revelation. See, there's been many that have tried to walk or claim they're walking in diligence, claim they're devoted to the Lord, and claim they have understanding. They have none of those things in the sight of God. Why? Because they've avoided, in a spirit of rebellion, in a spirit of self-dependence, the requirement that God has laid before them, and that is to fellowship with Him in the inner chamber on His terms. And those three words apply to each individual Christian differently. It's up to them to find out what He requires and do it exactly. Again, we'll touch on that a little bit later, this danger of not obeying God completely. And then we talked about the fact that it's extremely important to guard our heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And that's exactly what we're called to be in this earth as the glorious church. We are called to be the imparters of God's life and light and love and truth and wisdom and everything else that are part of His nature and part of His plan for this earth. And in this last hour, as the glorious church begins to rise up in the earth, we are going to see unhindered explosions of God's power come through His people. This will literally turn the world upside down. We saw a glimpse of it in Acts 1. We should no longer be a people who are just trying to get back to where they were when they began, but a people who constantly are and diligently seeking the fullness of God's will, because it's an awesome thing. It literally is incomprehensible to even the most sanctified intellect. We are going to have to be a people who walk by revelation knowledge, because we cannot comprehend anything. We need to be a people who are hooked into the mind of Christ at all times. At all times. We talked about the need for peace. And we looked at the scripture in Isaiah 26, the steadfast of mind thou wilt keep in perfect peace. And you can equate peace with empowerment in this last hour. You can equate it with joy, which is our strength, and therefore you can equate it with empowerment. We are going to need the fullness of God's power in this last hour, first and foremost to accomplish the will of God fully, according to the way He wants it fulfilled, and second, to overcome and devastate Satan at all times, in all things that we're given to do. Another scripture from Isaiah 26, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And again, we know that we're in Christ, and that by His doing, we are the righteousness of God, the wisdom of God. We are all things. We have all things pertaining to life and godliness. There are no excuses. There never were any excuses. But now, as we see in the natural certain events taking place, they are always a prelude to that which happens in the spiritual realm. And so, consequently, one thing we can pick up from this is that up until this time, we've had a lot of minor and perhaps some major skirmishes along the way in the body of Christ concerning Satan and his strongholds. But one of the key elements of the glorious church, the manifestation of the glorious church, is that we will be on a search and destroy mission. And that mission will be, the main mission will be to take down the principalities and powers. As all these things begin to unfold, and it's been taught here before, all these things begin to unfold, we are going to see that such a great manifestation of God's presence in the earth. Again, it's incomprehensible, but many great things will happen in that time. We'll be so busy carrying out the will of the Father that all things will just unfold after us. And in our wake, there will be a path of freedom that people can readily follow if they desire to. But if they don't, then they will run further and further into rebellion. It's very interesting to note that the plan of Antichrist just keeps on going. But God is in control, and He is unfolding His plan. And when God begins to move, the devil just has to step aside. It doesn't make any difference how powerful they think they are. And so many things are unfolding in these days, and it should cause a great excitement to come into the heart of every believer, because our God is in control, and He is God Almighty. But again, if nothing else, if Christians are getting into fear in these days, maybe it will be a catalyst for them to make the adjustment that will bring them to a place of faith so that they're not fretting and getting into anxiety over things. Turn over to Psalm 37. Now, I did this a bit the last teaching, but I didn't quite finish. So that we'll go over some scriptures in this psalm, and then we'll begin to look at some other scriptures, and then deal with some just some different topics that have to do with the things we've been dealing with over the past number of teachings. And really, they're just simply absolute thoughts, absolute aspects of God's will in this hour. Extremely important. We have to have an absoluteness consciousness. We can no longer be part-time Christians. We can no longer bring every thought captive part of the time. We need to do all that God calls us to do all of the time. Extremely important. It is a glorious time coming, a time those who are faithful and obedient to God are about to enter into a realm they never thought possible this side of heaven. But only those who are wholly given to God, only those who are walking in obedience at all cost to themselves will enter into that kingdom position. It's that simple. There will be no frauds in the kingdom in this last hour. So in Psalm 37, starting at verse 1, now all these scriptures I'm going to deal with today are very, very important, as every scripture is. But the fact is, I'll go on and read this and I'll explain that a bit more later. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. In other words, be righteously motivated in all that you do and say. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because he's placed them there. Because of your fellowship with him, you are saying and doing and being influenced by the things that are rising up from the Holy Spirit, through your inner man. And you will be guided and you will be literally controlled by the Holy Spirit. You see, you're going to be controlled by somebody. It's either going to be the devil or the Holy Spirit. So we need to be a people who are controlled. It's not a dirty word when the Holy Spirit's involved. Why? Because he's always going to lead you into the perfect place, the perfect word, the perfect situation that will ultimately unfold the fullness of your destiny in Christ. Again, this is that element of trust we need to have. He is perfect, and he will lead us and direct us in the paths of righteousness. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Again, when you hear the word wait, think of a waiter waiting in a fancy restaurant on the clients, not waiting at a bus stop. It's extremely important. Because if you do, you're going to miss the bus because it's not even on the same street you're standing on. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Notice how many references there's been to jealousy and envy. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, not on flesh and blood, regardless of what's happening. That's extremely important. Again, I'm going to deal with that a little bit later as it pertains to people following after flesh and blood as far as ministry goes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. Now, see, it's important that when we get these commands, you know, Jesus says, be anxious for nothing, and it says here, do not fret, and so on. It's fine to read those scriptures, but the most important thing is that those scriptures are abiding in our heart. They're empowering us in all things. So when a situation arises, when the devil attempts to tempt us into a place of speaking or acting apart from the will of God, being moved by all these different things, then the empowerment will rise up and cause us to react in love rather than react in fear, anger, and so on. Now, you know, it's just like the troops that are fighting in wars. They are prepared perfectly so that when they get into a pressure situation, a pilot's another good example, they get into a pressure situation, and when it comes, they react out of that basic instinct that's been implanted in their heart. We as Christians must be the same way, because what's coming now is a time of escalated attack by the enemy. But the bad news for him is there's a people in this earth that have been raised up by God to counter him at every turn. And so, but there are many who aren't in the position. They're not ready. They should be, but they're not. And if there's not a repentance soon forthcoming, they're going to be overwhelmed.
And this can be in the realm of the soul, the realm of emotions, and so on. This is why Bill and others have been teaching on the importance of this, because, again, you are going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, or you're going to be controlled by what you've allowed to remain within you. And when that thing's escalated, it's no time to get your Bible out and hope you can overcome. The Lord likened it to trying to pitch a tent in a storm. I mean a real hard storm. It's a lot easier to do it now when it's sunny and calm in the Spirit. These are extremely important things. I really perceive, and I really began with Marcia's teaching on Sunday when she summarized the house vision, and she summarized the different aspects of how that was brought together for them and for us. The whole teaching, I just kept hearing the Holy Spirit say, there's a great significance to this summary. You summarize, you reflect, you make any adjustments you need to make, but you can know that God is going to move into the fullness of His plan. He's moving now. We can see it in the natural, and now we're going to see it in the spiritual to a great degree. So everything, once again, that's being spoken through the anointed servants of God is extremely important as far as God, the unfolding of God's plan. We cannot afford to read a prophecy that's of God and just say, that's nice. We need to take everything that God is speaking to us and let the Holy Spirit apply it to us where we are right now. One of my jobs, is to get people ready for what's coming. Things are coming, and I'm saying we need the fullness of God's provision. We need to be acclimatized to His presence. And as I go on to explain later on, I'm going to review some things about spiritual environments. We're going to need to be in the right heart position at all times, or we're not going to understand anything. What's coming is something that's not been seen before. Oh, it's in the Word. It just hasn't been seen, the magnitude of it, by human eyes, and certainly not by our eyes. We've seen glimpses. God has been faithful to give us glimpses. We're going to see the whole thing in these days. All right. Let's see. Verse 10. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. And as I was meditating on that scripture in preparation for this, it spoke to me of there's a certain hierarchy in the church right now. There are godly men and women. There are ungodly men and women, or at least unrighteously motivated men and women. And there's about to be a giant flip-flop. And God is going to exalt those who have humbled themselves before Him. And I've said this before in that scripture. He's going to give those who are faithful to Him the platform to release everything that He's blessed them with, both individually and corporately. And there's going to be a flip-flop, and those, of course, who have exalted themselves, sought after their own platform, will be taken down. God is well able to take anything down that was not built in Him. Extremely important. So many reasons to be in the right position. You know, we don't want to be foolish Christians. We don't want to be those who miss, to any degree, the fullness of the Father's plan in this last hour. It is the grand finale. Verse 12. The wicked plots against the righteous. Oh, sorry, go to 16. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked, for the arms of the wicked will be broken. But the Lord sustains the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless. Again, we're talking about righteous motivation in all things. And their inheritance will be forever. See, eternity has literally begun for us now. And, of course, the things we do now and the things we say now are affecting our eternal position. That is an extremely important revelation to have. Again, it's a matter of eternal perspective. The more that Satan can get the Christian to focus on the natural realm, on self, the more he can control them. But if we have eternal perspective, we can move freely and flow freely in the Spirit, knowing that we're accomplishing everything that God's called us to accomplish. He's already made the provision. We shouldn't be struggling as Christians. I mean, if we have a place where there's a struggle, then we need to know what to do. We need to get into the presence of God, find out, gain a revelation. And see, that revelation will come in, and it will move that any ground of fear, any ground of self-desire that's in there. If we're faithful to do that, God will just continue to lead us on the way, and nothing, literally nothing, can stop us. I mean, there is nothing that could stop you or me from fulfilling the fullness of our destiny in Christ except us. Not Satan himself, not every demon in hell can stop you when you set your will to love the Lord your God with all your heart and exercise an absolute faith and the corresponding action that comes from that. Nothing. He's a deceiver, and he has spent a lot of time in the last 2,000 years establishing many traditions and doctrines and mindsets and preconceived notions even in the minds of people. And because he's kept them in a place where they've focused their eyes on the world, he's been able to deceive them into thinking in some manner of sin consciousness. Those days are over. Those days are over. Those who allow sin consciousness to remain through their lack of fellowship with God will enter into deep darkness and great sin in this last hour. But those who truly desire the fullness of God's will enter into the fullness of kingdom life, and their hearts will be saturated and flooded with light. And again, as I go on to talk about some of these things, they'll know what the plan is in this last hour. We're already seeing a great separation in the church. We're seeing people don't understand God's plan. It's quite simple, actually. And actually, the deeper you get into it, the simpler it is. But of course, the more absolute it is. And so for one to hook into it, they need to be meeting the divine requirement with each passing day, and that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Okay, in verse 18, the Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they will have abundance. 37 to 40. I just stopped there for a second. Just every Christian needs to have a revelation of what divine prosperity truly is. It's not having a bunch of a bunch of money in the or bunnies. having a bunch of money in your bank account. Divine prosperity can be defined as the ability to speak or do or carry out anything in any given moment that will meet the deepest need of the heart that's crossing their path. And that's it. Now, if that takes money, fine. It will be there. Believe me, God is going to operate with a pinpoint accuracy in that area in this last hour. But again, Isaiah 26 keeps popping up. Those who dwell in the presence of the Lord are the ones that are going to be partakers of this thing. But divine prosperity is the ability to meet the needs of all those who cross your path in any given moment, whatever that is. And that is what the glorious church is going to do. Verse 23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, and you never will. Or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever. Now that's another extremely important revelation that each and every one of us need to have. He will not fail or forsake us. And you see, the thing that brings that into spiritual reality in our life is to trust him with all our heart. If we trust him in any given situation, we will get a deeper and deeper and deeper revelation of the fact that he will not fail us or forsake us. It doesn't matter what it looks like. We'll become a people of faith. And that's an important revelation to have in this last hour. And it doesn't matter how intense the attack, how intense the temptation that Satan tries to bring forth against the man or woman of God, they will not be forsaken, and they will not fail to maintain the carrying out of God's will regardless. What a great promise that is. When you get a people like that, Satan can't handle them. Why? Because they don't have any fear. They know that no matter what Satan tries, he's going to come out on the short end, and they're going to come out being elevated in the kingdom. This is spiritual reality. This is why all the things that are being preached are being preached. So we can come into a position wherein we can partake of these things, truly being found as partakers of God's nature. In other words, everything we do and say is controlled by him. It's a manifestation of his heart, his power, his life, his love. Okay. Verse 30, the mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law, or the word of his God, is in his heart. His steps do not slip. That's important. In his heart, not outside. Not in the head, but in the heart. Again, we're going to talk a bit more about these spiritual impulses that come forth in the revelation of God's word affecting the mind. See, if you get the thing in proper order, you'll never have problem with emotions and things like that. Anything from the outside. Better not get ahead of myself. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand or let him be condemned when he is judged. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. See, that's the element of wait, true waiting. You keep his way while you're waiting. Not just stand there wondering what's going to happen next. I mean, you're fodder for the devil when you do his plan, when you do that. He can just inundate your thought life with any thought he wants to put in there. But if you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, the word of God, then, again, these spiritual impulses will keep rising out. And no matter how long you have to wait or how short you have to wait, you'll be ready. And he will exalt you to inherit the land. See, the waiting comes before the exalting. The people that have gotten themselves out ahead of God, they didn't wait. And even though they don't know that they've exalted themselves, they have. And God will humble everything that has exalted itself above his word, which is his will, in this last hour. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Verse 37, mark the blameless man or the righteously motivated man and behold the upright. For the man of peace will have a posterity. It's posterity. Oh, gee. Praise the Lord. I am starting to move a little faster than I need to. Mark the blameless man and behold the upright. For the man of peace will have a posterity, or he will have an end. And a man of integrity, a righteously motivated person, their end will be the fullness of their destiny in Christ. But transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off. That means the end that they feel they have such a clear revelation of is going to be cut off. Why? Because it was motivated by self-desire. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them. Why? Because they take refuge in him. See, to take refuge in a place, you have to trust that person or the fact that that place is fortified. And so, you see, all these things are based, again, on our trust for God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 2. We're going to deal with some things now that are, some of this is expanded in the ministry letter, but we're going to deal with some things that are very, very key now. We need to have a revelation of them. We need to understand where the Father's coming from. We need to understand what these words mean that he's spoken here. Because for us, they're perfect provision, perfect preparation for everything that has happened up till now, we've seen, and what is about to happen. It is very important in these days for every believer to come to a clear understanding that there is only one truth, one plan, and one motive that will do as far as the carrying out of the Father's will goes. Now, that's a simple thing to me. You know, we see numerous people get around. They want a dialogue. They want to have a discussion about the different doctrines in the church. And it's just a waste of time, and it's folly. And it only leads to confusion and the impartation of death and darkness in the midst of God's people. As each individual believer spends the time with God that they're called to spend, not only will they know what place to be in to receive the truth that they get, they will be able, when that truth is imparted, they will be able to take that, and the Holy Spirit will diffuse it in their heart in the way that they need it. And this is why in this last hour, the third day anointing, we don't have time for 10 years of Bible classes. And in some cases, the spirit behind that was wrong too. But the fact is, the key is being in the right place, anointed word going forth, you spending time with the Father and his word, and then he will reveal what he needs to reveal to your heart so that you're always perfectly prepared to do your part and to bring his life to the body, your part in that. I mean, sometimes you look at how these different principles have been neglected, and you wonder how we're standing at all in parts of the church. But thank God the parts of the church that aren't rooted and grounded in love haven't been built, have been done apart from Christ. They're not going to be standing much longer, as the scriptures have said. But there will be a people in this earth elevated to a great degree. Why? To destroy and devastate the works of Satan, to set the captives free, get the job done, and then enter into the fullness of our eternal destiny. Those who are in right fellowship with the Father and His Word will know of His glorious plan in this last hour and will have no desire to deviate from their God-given part in it. Again, we think of the scripture in Joel that says they will not deviate from their own path or their own rank. We've got privates trying to be generals, and we've got generals who should be generals who are privates. And it's not right. I mean, this whole thing, this isn't about somebody here and somebody there. The whole principle of the fivefold ministry, what it looks like in there, that individual believer always being perfectly prepared for what this day and the next day will bring. Extremely important. I mean, there's been so much immaturity in the church, and not only immaturity, but from that immaturity, different preconceived notions and doctrines even have been formed from it. And they're all designed for one thing, and that's to keep the people of God with their feet firmly planted in the world. God wants our feet to be firmly planted in the kingdom of heaven. And now the battle's going to start, and there'll be those who are here and those who are here, and this is where the battle's going. And I've said it before, but you're either going to be raining down on the devil or being rained down on yourself by the devil. It's not going to be a pleasant rain. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2. Now, again, it's important to understand just how important being righteously motivated is. I'm just going to share this briefly here. Again, it's hard for me to get away from this particular little story because it was a turning point, really, and it happened in August 2000 here in Kremlin. At the Kremlin conference, and I was sitting in my room studying. God had given me a revelation of the importance of spiritual environments, particularly true ones. And as I was reading Ephesians 3, I got to the section that talked about being rooted and grounded in love. But then as I read the next four words, or five words, it said, that they may be able to comprehend. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and He said, if the people of God are not rooted and grounded in love, they will not be able to comprehend anything that comes down in this last hour. And believe me, for the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen evidence of that. We're seeing people, even people who were on fire at one time for God and for His plan, have deviated and gone out into darkness. But yet, some people who have just entered into the kingdom can grasp this. They don't have to understand the whole fullness of the plan. None of us do. But they'll understand what's of God and what's not. So we need to be a people who are rooted and grounded in love, and of course that is the catalyst to abiding in righteous motivation also. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. That's pretty clear. God wants us to know, and He wants to be known, and we need to know Him. See, we have a job as the church in the earth to carry out the Father's will. But the first and foremost priority that God ever had concerning mankind was for us to fellowship with Him, to know Him intimately, and to carry on in that type of relationship. Now, God never changes, so that's always been His first priority. So it will be the catalyst to us fulfilling the fullness of His will for our lives. And so the two things always go together. They can't be separated. Many people are trying to carry out the will of God without knowing Him, without knowing His heart, without being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's a mess, but it's about to get cleaned up. Verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Again, extremely important. When your spirit man remains in a place of being continually in dominance over your soul and body, you will be in a place where you are continually receiving impulses that rise up through the Holy Spirit in your inner man. They will then rise up and influence your mind. This is all internal. All internal. All right? And that does two things. One, it prevents you from being influenced from the outside. And that's the only way Satan can get in. We're going to look at a scripture. I'm going to show you the five things, the five doors that Satan can get into. There's only five. And every attempt that he tries, it's going to be these five things. We'll get into that in a bit. But the fact is, it's extremely important that that's the way the system works. With what's going to happen in the days ahead, both the glorious aspect and the inglorious aspect of what's happening in the world, we are going to have to be a people who are not moved by what we see or feel or hear or think. All that points out is baby Christianity, and babies don't do well in times of war. Okay, verse 14. But a natural man does not, now that can mean somebody who's not born again, but it can also be one, it can also mean one who is rooted and grounded in self-desire, because that's in the natural. It hasn't got anything to do with God. It shouldn't be, but it happens. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. So there's two things here. They're foolishness to him. Why? Because everything that's spoken under the anointing of the Holy Spirit will always counteract self-desire and self-agenda. So if people want what they want more than what God wants for them, they're always going to be in a position of contention. And what an anointed man or woman of God says will always be foolishness to them. Why? Because it won't get them their own way. That's simple. And then it says, because they are spiritually appraised. And just what I've been talking about up until now, unless we are acclimatized and conditioned properly spiritually, rooted and grounded in love, we will not be able to comprehend what's being spoken by the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. It's that absolute. And people are going to stand around trying to argue in this last hour that, oh, no, I'm in the will of God. Oh, no, I'm righteously motivated. Oh, no, they're not. And they won't know what's going on. And as I'll mention a little later, and we've talked about before, every word, every action that we will be given to carry out in this last hour will be calculated to greatly offend all that's apart from Christ in our path. We have to be a people of no fear, especially the fear of what others think. Every environment, not this one necessarily, because this has been the best environment I've ever been in. I've been in environments where with any word that God has me speak, and it's not a conscious thing, it could be somebody will be greatly offended. It could be they'll walk right out of my life. That's how serious this thing is. But it doesn't make any difference to me, and it shouldn't make any difference to you, because we're here to do God's will. We're not here to compromise. And I'm going to touch on that again, too, because the fact is that you can compromise the will of God in your life. You can compromise the walk of love when you deal with other people, and Satan will back off. You can put yourself in a position of less pressure. But I'll tell you one thing, the end of that is not good. That is not good. Are we in this earth to make things easier for ourselves? Or are we in this earth just to carry out the will of God? I can assure you that those troops on the front lines, they have their eyes focused on the mission. Because about the moment they start worrying about their own thing, they're going to become soldiers that aren't worth their salt. That's just the way it is. And the same applies in the spiritual kingdom. Oh, definitely. There's no question. You see, because you get into fear, and what happens is things start to unfold step to step to step, right? Lack of faith to lack of faith to lack of faith to lack of faith. And the next thing you know, boom, the devil's there and he sets you up. Now, he can't do that to everybody anytime he wants, or we all would have been dead before we even started. But the fact is, in this last hour, God is calling us to walk by faith. And it's very, very important to be in the right spiritual position at any given moment, whether it's an environment of learning and so on, whether it's an entire city of refuge, whether it's both. It's very important, because people are going to end up where they choose to end up. And like I said, there's a place down here that the devil's going to rain down on with everything he's got, and there's a place here where God's going to rain down on the devil with everything he's got. So a Christian's going to choose to be in one place or the other. And there won't be any arguing. They'll be exactly where they've chosen to be. You know that every last Christian walking the face of this earth knows the Father just as well as they want to know him. There are no restrictions on knowing him. And of course, it's his desire that we come to know him to a greater degree with each passing day. But it's very important we make a decision to know him, because from that place of knowing him, all the things that we talk about concerning the true Christian life come to pass. From not being in that position, then everything that Satan wants to trap you with, entrap you with, that road that looks good, but the end is death, it's darkness. And I might add darkness and death on the way on that road, and that's why people are ignorant of God's plan. There's many, many people walking around the earth today still thinking that things are going to work out all right, and yet have not tended to the relationship with God. It will not work out all right. Not because God doesn't love them, but because the devil hates them. And they put themselves in his territory. I mean, when you have a choice to walk through a field with no mines in it and a field that does it, that has is loaded with mines, you better make the right choice. Okay, verse 15, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. Again, it's so important for us to have a revelation of God's will, have our hearts saturated with the word of God, so that when we open our mouth to speak or we go and do something, we just have the assurance within us. We don't know what's going to happen. And when people react for or against, we'll not be moved by it. But we'll have that assurance we've done the will of God. See, the things I'm speaking to you about, it's not just the apostles, the prophets, and so on that are going to experience these things. Every last member of the glorious church will experience these things. But if they're in the right position, spiritually speaking, they will overcome in all things and devastate Satan at every turn. Okay, people who walk by sense knowledge, that is, the five physical senses are their final authority, are always discerning things from the outside. From the outside. Now, I haven't got to that scripture yet, but we'll get there. Actually, you can turn over there now. Mark 4. People who do not have revelation knowledge are literally forced or compelled to speak, discern, and act based on what they see and hear and feel and think. What I'm saying there is that if we don't have revelation knowledge in our heart, then we're going to be forced by the spirits of darkness and any other evil force to lean on our own understanding. And as that thing builds and builds and builds, ultimately we're going to discern everything on the outside. Oh, that doesn't look like God. Oh, that looks like God. And they don't have a clue. And this, I'm not saying anything to you that we haven't seen in the past years in the church. What I'm saying to you is God is coming to clean it up. And if we're going to call ourselves Christians, then we better be found walking by the power of the Holy Spirit in all things. The truth which they say they are seeking cannot be found by them because of the motivation of their heart. Now, the scripture in John 7:17 says, if anyone's willing to do all of the will of God, they'll know of the teaching. Well, the opposite is true. If we are to any degree not willing to do all of the will of God, then we won't know of the teaching. Why? Because the leaven of darkness is a consuming thing. Where you put your focus is where you're going to be, to the degree that you focus is the degree that you're going to allow light to come in. Now that light is either going to be divine light, or it's going to be the light that Jesus spoke of in Luke 11:35 when he said, take heed that the light that is in you be not darkness. And this is the most dangerous age in the history of mankind. I'm telling you right now, I had a dream the other day. It was amazing. It was one of those ones that just brought spiritual reality into focus. And the Father was just reminding me of something that he's shown me before. And it was this. I was in a situation, and I came into this room, and there was a group of people there, nice people, friendly people, determined people, and they had something to offer. And they said, you've got to partake of this. This is a wonderful thing. We're all benefiting. We're all prospering. We're all getting by quite nicely. And then I saw two things. One, I saw what looked like a telephone. Perhaps it was a telephone, but this telephone was hooked in to this, I don't know, I can't describe it. It was just like a little amplifier or something you plug into, and it had these initials on it. It had global, what's that? Is it GPS? Global positioning. Yeah, GPS. Global positioning, And so I knew instantaneously that what these people were hooked into, despite how nice they were, despite how they really wanted me to partake of this, because it was a real blessing, they were hooked into the spirit of Antichrist. And they were being controlled by the devil, being led down a path. And then the Father spoke to me again at the end, and he said, if my people do not enter into the fullness of the kingdom position I have for them, they are going to leave themselves open to be drawn and influenced by these, and I mean, these were the nicest people maybe I'd ever seen in the natural. I mean, they were determined, everything they did seemed good outwardly, but inwardly they were deceived, and they were being led down a path that looked good. And so what I'm saying to you in that is that in this last hour, it's going to be a very subtle scheme of the enemy. I mean, we know the things that are obviously apart from God, but there are many things and many people who are being used, being held captive by the spirit of Antichrist to draw Christians who do not have discernment apart from the call of God in their life. Now, having said that, those who are in perfect position before God, they will know. They will be able to discern this. But I'm telling you this right now, the impression that dream left on me and what he spoke to me, he said, they will not be able to discern that this is not of me. And so you see, there is going to be a tragic falling away there, and all because they simply neglected to fellowship with God on his terms. This is extremely serious. It's not going to be so obvious, but it will be obvious to those who aren't walking in the Spirit. But to those who are walking in the Spirit, we will know all things we need to know in any given moment, and we will walk safely, regardless of what happens between now and the catching away of the church. Okay, what did I say? Turn on, yeah, Mark 4. Okay. Now, okay, I'll do this now. Just summarizing that part about the importance of focusing on Jesus, not focusing on flesh and blood. See, it can be a subtle thing, because there are many men and women of God that are anointed, and they will be a great blessing to us as we partake of their ministries. But there's just a little move of the heart that can put the focus on the person rather than the anointing abiding within them. And that only happens, though, when people aren't walking in right relationship with God. Because if you're walking in right relationship with God, he'll always be your priority. Extremely important. One can, to a degree, receive the seeds of revelation knowledge through anointed men and women of God. But if that which is received is not going to become a powerless regurgitation in one's life, then they are going to have to be in right relationship with the Father and his word in their own personal lives on an ongoing basis. Consistency is the key to empowerment. And absolute consistency is the key to absolute or perfect empowerment. So we need to be a people who are seeking consistency. Now, what I mean by that is, and I've seen this, I see prophecies come forth, and I'll read the first few words or few lines, and I'll put it away. Why? No power. No light. The words are right. No power, no light. Why? Because somewhere along the line, they've come into a place of wrong relationship, as far as the Father's concerned, and they're regurgitating this stuff. It's all looks like it's accurate. No power. Without power in this last hour, we won't make it, and the captives won't be set free. Power. And the two chief characteristics of third day anointing are power and clarity. Without those two things, confusion and darkness will enter in, and lack of power, of course. Except, and a lack of power is not just not having power, it's being powerless to stand against the powers that are trying to draw us away from God. Okay, we're going to leave Mark 4 for a second. Turn over to Psalm 119. I forgot that scripture was in there. Now, this is an extremely important psalm. This psalm encapsulizes the fullness of the true Christian life. And when you hear the psalmist, hear the words of the psalmist, you will hear those spiritual impulses rising up through deep within him because of his relationship with God. And so I would encourage everybody to meditate on this to whatever degree. I used to read 8 verses a day and actually memorize them. It was a little thing I had with my son. It was kind of how he earned his allowance. And So we did 8 verses a day. And I'm telling you, as you do that, as you begin to meditate this, and of course you'll see where it says the word law, well, you can just automatically insert the word of God to us today. So starting in verse 1, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, again, righteous motivation, who walk in the law of the Lord. That means they're actively carrying out the will of God as revealed to their heart and as empowered by the Holy Spirit. How blessed, and again, keep in mind, when you say blessed, put the word empowered in there. How empowered are those who observe or focus on his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. You see, this is the importance of getting the word in your heart so it becomes real, and so you're empowered in every way. They also do no unrighteousness. In other words, they're not unrighteously motivated in any way. They walk in his ways. Thou hast ordained thy precepts, that we should keep them diligently. In other words, God didn't just give us the commandments so we could just let them say, oh, that's a wonderful idea, and then not do it. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep thy statutes. Then, I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all thy commandments. Why? Because that sin is continued, like any ground of fear, any ground of sin is continually being exposed and dealt with. And so when we read the Word of God, we can rejoice in the fullness of his provision. We can draw close to him because there's nothing preventing us from not drawing close to him. I shall give thanks to thee with uprightness of heart when I learn thy righteous judgments. I shall keep thy statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. That's the only way. It doesn't matter how good our intentions are. Without the empowerment of God's word and the entrance of that word continually producing light, then we will not be pure in his sight. But we desire to be pure. He'll keep us pure as we keep his word first. With all my heart, again, with all my heart, I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandments. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. It's a wonderful thing to think that as these words were being proclaimed, in the time they were proclaimed, that when Jesus came, he actually fulfilled the answers to these prayers and caused us to be enabled or to be empowered to live this life. It's an amazing thing. We're going to spend eternity finding out just how amazing. We're going to find out some things before then, too, in our remaining time here. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of thy mouth. Again, the importance of speaking the revealed word of God. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Again, pointing out a proper heart motivation that keeps our eyes fixed on God and the loving of God with all our heart, as opposed to the love of money. I will meditate on thy precepts and regard thy ways. I shall delight in thy statutes. I shall not forget thy word. Now, that's extremely important. All right, turn over to Mark 4. I would encourage you to go on. There's golden nuggets throughout this psalm that just will explode in your heart, you know, as you meditate on them. Mark 4. All right. Well, I'm going to go as far as I can. If I don't get finished, I don't. That's the way it is. But I will finish. It just may not be today. Okay. Those five things I talked about. Now, we all know about the seed or the parable of the sower. All right. So if you go to verse 17, all right, he's talking about the different characteristics of people who are in certain spiritual positions, right position, wrong position. So he says in verse 17, it says, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, there's the first two. Affliction can be sickness, illness, anything from that's a part of the curse that we've been redeemed from, right? Persecution for the word's sake. Again, your heart is wholly seeking God. You're walking in the fullness of God's will. Persecution will arise. And if we're not strong and rooted and grounded in love, we can be taken away. Verse 19, the worries of the world, number 3. Number 4, the deceitfulness of riches. Number 5, the desires for other things. And you can just totally summarize that by saying the desire for anything apart from the will of God. So lust comes into there. So through those five gates, If you know, you find devil attacking, he's going to be trying to come from the outside through one of those five gates. But again, if your heart is rooted and grounded in love and your relationship is right with God, you'll see it coming. It'll be very clear, rather than being consumed, getting emotionally involved, getting moved by any of those things. I'll tell you, he is at an extreme disadvantage if we will just simply obey God and be in the right spiritual position. But if we're not, then he has the advantage. It's not a good thing for a Christian to allow Satan to have advantage in their life, because he's a killer. And in this last hour, this is all out war. And either life is going to win or death is going to win in any given situation. But so we need to be those who are not only in a position of winning, but in a position where we're in that position able to be vessels of God's life in a powerful, powerful way. My goodness, I mean, we don't have to have any concern about evangelism in the third day. The sheer unadulterated power of God flowing forth through pure vessels will do the job. We don't need schemes, I can tell you that. We need the power. That's what we need. Nobody will be disputing what God's doing this last hour, because it will be indisputable. All right. Now, so I go down a bit further to, let's go over here. Verse 24. And so he's continuing on, and he's saying, there's a lot here, but I'm touching on the important points for today. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given you besides. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. I'm not going to go into that part today. The part I want you to get, I will be going into that, though, because that's extremely important. That is a principle that is about to really begin to manifest in the body of Christ. We need to be those who have. Because if we allow any leaven whatsoever, that thing is going to get up there and consume what God has blessed us or what we have. All right, turn over to Luke 6. The key there, measuring. I mean, Marcia's talked about it. What you measure, in what degree you measure, how you measure, that's how it's coming back to you. See, again, in this last hour, nobody's going to be able to stand around and argue with God like the people in Matthew 7 did. They said, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? No, you didn't. Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that in your name? No, you didn't. They won't be able to argue in this last hour. Everything is going to become evident. And I'm not going to go there today, but 1 Corinthians 3, Paul makes it very clear that each man's work will become evident. And we are going to be the vessels of fire that really cause that judgment to come forth in the fullness. Luke 6. Okay. Now, there's a lot in this passage also, but this is the part I'm going to do today. Praise God. Okay, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Again, confirming that. Now, just to close here, just a few words. Okay. Apparently, this isn't the last teaching in this section. We'll just go on to it. Okay. I am an absolute God, and in the perfect fulfilling of my will, it shall take an absolute or a perfect love abiding in the hearts of my children. Extremely important. Again, some of these things are expanded on in the latest ministry letter. A clean, pure heart is a heart which is always perfect in its thoughts and motivation towards me. Even the most harmless-looking deviation from the narrow path has its root motivation, fear and selfishness. Okay, I'm going to end here. I want to go with six different ways, but that's fine, because this is what was needed for today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you created in us a spirit of strong desire to walk in holiness, to abide in your perfect love, Father, that we might be found fulfilling your will in all that we do and say. And we thank you, Father, that great signs and wonders are now beginning to follow those who are wholly given to you. And we thank you, Father, that you are able now to reveal yourself in a way you've never been able to reveal yourself to your people in these days, for all through all those anointed servants of yours. So we give you all honor and praise and glory. And we fasten our spiritual seatbelts, Father, for that which is upon us now and all that which is to come forth in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.